Mio amico, Yale cried. Good always to see ya. Looking over Hank's shoulder at me, he asked, Who's the chick? Before Rodman could extricate himself from the hug to explain, Yale's face took on the expression of someone in pain. You ain't thrown over that gorgeous doll for this one, have you? Even though my looks couldn't come close to Lily's, I wasn't that bad. She works for AR, top draw. Lily loves her. Sit down. Mama will make a big breakfast. The mama he referred to was Mrs. Maria Yale, a short, dumpy, good-natured woman, proud of her Italian roots and better spoken in the old language than in the new. I make you uova, prosciutto, fritelli, whatever else want. What I wanted was a place to sleep, bathe, and call my mother. But the offer of a real breakfast was too good to resist. As we hungrily ate, Hank asked Frankie where the goods had been stored. Not on the premises, I hope, said Rodman. You won't believe this. South of here, in the fun house. I own some concessions. Rodman blinked and nearly choked on his coffee. In the fun house? The safest place in Coney, 'cause no one knows what's for real. Sounds like life, replied Rodman. After a good night's sleep at the Yale house, shortly before noon, I called my mother to tell her that I was home from my trip and having a good time in Coney Island. Cruises, amusement parks, such a good life you lead. From where comes the money? I ducked that question to inquire about her health and about Mr. Schneiderman and Jimmy. Everyone, she told me, was fine. And Carmel? So how should Carmel be? She said, meaning all was well. I concluded our conversation by promising to visit just as soon as I could and by asking about Ben. He misses you. Send him my love. Send him yourself. I bathed, dressed, and knocked on Rodman's door. No reply. So I went downstairs, where I found him on the phone, talking to Lily. I gathered from what I heard that she would drive to Coney Island and collect him. He then called AR, who reminded Hank that numerous nightclubs were anxious to purchase his booze. When Lily arrived, I greeted her warmly. I knew better than to ask for a ride back to the city, knowing that Hank and Lily wanted to be alone. So I insisted that I wanted to enjoy a day at Coney Island and I would take the train back to Manhattan. As they drove off, I ran out in the street and waved. Unexpectedly, Sal appeared. Putting a hand on my shoulder, he invited me to see all the sights. Against my better judgment, I joined him for a jaunt south of Surf. Although I'd never been to Coney before, I'd heard all about it. The hot dogs bathed in mustard, the peanuts roasted in a contraption that whistled, the bricks of rock-solid popcorn, the shooting galleries with their leaping tin rabbits, as well as their German submarines and torpedo boats. Sal and I rode the Ferris wheel and the roller coaster, the first ever built in America. At the roulette wheel, which is not a gaming table but a ride, the attendant offered us overalls. How come? I asked. So you won't dirty your clothes when you tumble. I declined the offer and sat on the edge of the wheel. Most people sat at the center. I soon figured out why. As it picked up speed, moving faster and faster, those of us on the perimeter were sent sprawling into a dusty saucer, while those at the center, where the centrifugal force was the least, were able to hold their positions. Dizzily, Sal and I staggered away toward the weight-guessers and fortune-tellers, passing the skee-ballers, dart-throwers, and ring-tossers, all trying to win candy and Cupid dolls. Stopping at the penny arcades, we watched the kids jostling to see the skimpily-clad ladies and suggestive action in such peep shows as Queen of the Harem, After the Bath, Bear in the Bearskin, and Puss in the Corner. Thousands of automobiles moved slowly up and down the street, continuously blowing their horns, for no other reason, said Sal, than that this was Coney Island. with dance halls blaring jazz music and a brass band wheezing over and over some saccharine tune and barkers repeatedly shouting their unoriginal come-ons. Coney was deafening. Overhead ranged a forest of loop wires holding little yellow electric lamps. At night, observed Sal, it's real nice with the purple sky and the yellow lights. Sal steered me to the top of the slide, where we waited our turn. In front of us stood mostly young kids, already screeching in delicious anticipation of the speedy descent. The slide, a highly polished, undulating toboggan of hard wood, on which the sliders sat or lay, plunged into a huge wooden bowl, cushioned by an air mattress at the foot of the chute. When our turn arrived, Sal took my hand, and together we went over the top. Halfway down, I saw on the walkway two of the men involved in the crash of the gypsy. They were in the company of four smartly dressed gents, whom I took to be feds. "Cops!" I screamed into Sal's ear, pointing them out. The cops had also seen me. "There's the girl!" yelled one of the survivors. As soon as we hit bottom, Sal grabbed me by the arm, and we started running. "Where to?" I cried. "The funhouse. Frankie's got it rigged up with places to hide." Racing past the ticket taker, who never batted an eye, we took off through the hall of mirrors. For some crazy reason, a question flashed through my mind. How can you ever see things clearly when your head, like those in the mirrors, is always obstructing the view? Sal led me into the dark depths of the funhouse. It was like crossing a river into the bowels of the earth. Behind the mirrors and the revolving barrels and upending floors stood the guy wires and supports and electrical circuits that controlled all the fun. It was musty and gloomy. I could hear breathing, mine and Sal's. He led me to a peephole that looked into a dimly lit room of silver cobwebs and ghosts, reinforced by a recording of shrieks. Then, policemen entered the room, peering into the paleness. At that moment, Sal grabbed me from behind and forced me down on the ground, where he took me. Not because I said yes, but because I couldn't cry no. When I swore I'd report him, he said the cops would like nothing better. So I vowed to tell Rodman. But Sal said he'd deny it. Powerless, I called heaven as my witness I'd have someone shoot off his balls. He said he'd inform my family and friends about my gangster connections, and what would they think? While he was there, I wouldn't give him the satisfaction of seeing me cry. But as soon as he left, I went to pieces, uncontrollably shaking and weeping. Stumbling around in the dark, I found an exit and ran into the street. A car stopped. "I've been raped," I cried hysterically. "Ah, who wanna rape you?" the man said and drove off. A second car stopped with a man and a woman. They drove me to Frankie Yale's house to grab my belongings and then dropped me off at the train. I mounted the concrete stairway to track D. The sun was just setting. When the BMT arrived, I jammed my way in with 1,000 others, so closely packed my feet hardly touched the floor. I could make out between bodies our city-bound express taking curves and switches without even pausing. Presently, the train slackened its speed and moved up a long slope out of a tunnel. Pushing past a fat, sweating man holding a baby, I reached a window. Far across the river, shrouded in violet haze, lay the city, against a sky of silver and purple and pearl. Row on row, the lighted windows ascended, some in flat cliffs resembling coffins, some in sleek towers. Which, I asked myself, would best comfort me? All I could think of was how to undo what had happened, how to become unraped. My first reaction had not been of fear, but of filth. As a way of cleansing that memory, I tried to figure out what had led him to do it. Was it the clothing I wore? Was it my walk? Was it something I said? Going over in my mind how I might have handled the day differently, I ended up feeling that the rape was my fault because I'd done something dumb. But what that something was, I didn't know. "Canalsti," said the guard, and 200 conies in the image of God shoved and panted their way past me out of the suffocating car and into the airless station. I left the train convinced that my revenge would be my resurrection.